What an amazing time it was. That entire weekend was just absolutely brilliant, and it's almost time to kick off again with Chris Froome bidding for glory. We're just a few days away now, and it should be an amazing event. Now, Chris Froome has already identified Team Sky's British core as a major positive in his attempt to win the race for the second time in 3 years. Joined right now by Eurosport's Tour de France commentator, Carlton Kirby. Good morning, Carlton.
Hi, John. How are you doing, mate?
Very good, thank you. Oh, so excited about everything that's going to be going on inside the next few days. It's going to be brilliant. Just thinking back to last year, I mean, what was your experience of being here in Yorkshire last year for the Tour de France?
Well, I am a Yorkshireman, albeit from Sheffield, but I did used to work in Leeds for Look North, so I was in the Harry Gracian era many, many years ago. but yeah, it was a fantastic. The people of Leeds, the whole of Yorkshire, really, Harrogate, Sheffield, York itself, just piled in, didn't they, emotionally, apart from anything else. And Harrogate witnessed, of course, a victory for Marcel Kittel, and of course the tragedy of Mark Cavendish taking a tumble and not quite getting himself on the bike. Well, this year Kittel's gone, Cavendish is on the bike and trying to add to what is 25 Tour de France victories. He's got Eddie Merckx in his sights, essentially. So it's going to be great action. This time it's another away start. We're not in France for the beginning. We're off to the Netherlands and Utrecht, and it'll be the sprinters again, just as it was last year, that'll be to the fore, at least for the first week, before we suddenly start climbing and things get very, very dodgy indeed.
Yeah, it's going to be another great place to start, really, isn't it? I think, Holland does really lend itself with that kind of terrain that's got to this kind of event. It's going to look really, really good, and it's going to be fantastic. Obviously, not as good as last year.
It's not Yorkshire, for goodness sake. Yes, exactly, but Utrecht is amazing. They start off with an individual time trial, which is very, very tight. It's so short, it's just over 13 kilometres in length, that the gaps aren't going to be huge. So there could be a lot of... it could be still very tight after that. However, it's quite technical, and if you get it wrong, then it's all over Tour de France. So we then go off along the coast up towards the sea area, the Zeeland area, which is wide open. The wind could be a factor there. And then we head to the Muir de Hooy, which is famous for some of the one-day classics. And essentially, that is a nasty wall, 19% at the end, and mayhem could ensue, especially if it's wet. And then we have what they call pavé, which is basically cobblestones. Why would anyone ride their bike on cobblestones?
Why would you do that?
Nobody knows. But last year they did. Unfortunately, Chris Froome took a tumble.
I'm not surprised.
Broke both wrists. Alberto Contador broke his leg. And Vincenzo Nibali went on to win. Well, Contador recovered. He won the Vuelta. He's now won the Giro, and he's going for three in a row with the Tour de France. Dear old Chris Froome, of course, magnificent Tour de France victory in 2013. He's back and looking absolutely at his best. There's a guy called Nairo Quintana that some of your listeners may not be aware of, but won the Giro in 2014, took a tumble on the Vuelta last year. And Vincenzo Nibali himself, who always starts quietly, but warms up for the Tour and did so last year, and he was brilliant on the cobble. So lots of fireworks, and then we head anti-clockwise. So we start in Utrecht, we work our way along the northern French coast, we then go to the Mur de Bretagne, which is that little bit that sticks out. Cornouaille, they call it, would you believe, which is why they share a lot with the Cornish, including strange wrestling. But anyway, that's another story. the Mur de Bretagne, and then we take this huge transfer down to the Pyrenees, so continuing anti-clockwise round what the French call le Hexagon, which is a friendly way of saying France. And then, of course, we got some of the absolute nuttiest climbs on the planet, which really are going to blow it apart. That'll be hard for the sprinters. They're going to have their fun in the first week, essentially. Then it's the climbers, the GC boys that come to the fore, and then we head to the Alps. So there's no easy stage. Let's put it that way. Fireworks right from the top. So we loved Yorkshire last year, and I know a lot of fans up there have now sort of kept the love of the Tour de France in particular. You've got your own tour, of course, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Gary Verity doing an amazing job. What an impresario he is, and endless energy he seems, matched only by the fans.
Yeah, 10 Britons in this year's tour. Apart from Cavendish and Chris Froome, can we expect any of the others to maybe pop up with a stage win, or are they just working for the team's team leaders?
Well, there's going to be a lot of protection going on, particularly at the beginning. You know that 19% that I was talking about, the Muir de Hooy, which is a nasty, nasty, spiteful dreadful little climb. That'll be a lockout, so the teams are going to be basically looking after the GC boys. They don't want them to throw it away early on. Later on, when the gaps start to open up, luckily the Pyrenees come really reasonably early, it might well be that some of those on the quicker stages, some of the what we call classics men, those who function very well on slightly lumpy terrain, might be allowed to go away and have their fun in a breakaway. Peter Kennick, new British champion from the Isle of Man, within Team Sky, he could go for it. Luke Rowe, fantastic strategist apart from anything else. He's a man who seems to sense danger and marshals the team beautifully, you know, pointing stuff out, making sure that they get into a safe place when the pack are rolling along, what they call the peloton. Ian Stannard, of course, massive diesel. He's absolutely superb and won the Het Nieuwsblad this year, repeated the feat, so he's great. And of course, the Welshman Geraint Thomas, runner-up in the Tour of Swiss. He's on sparkling form. And get this, Geraint Thomas will be the great default choice, not Richie Porte to my mind, within Team Sky, if Chris Froome doesn't have the best of runs. Now, one of Geraint's friends said, Geraint is only one chest infection away from being Sky's number one.
Yeah.
Which is a bit unkind to Chris Froome, who does suffer with asthma and allergies and the rest of it. Look, let's hope he keeps his puffer next to him and everything goes well for Team Sky. Alex Dowsett, newly crowned British individual time trial champion, has been adopted back into the Movistar fold. He wasn't going to be going. Then he goes and becomes British individual time trial champion, and they suddenly thought, hang on a minute, we've got a time trial starting off this race. Also, he'd be pretty handy on the team time trial, which comes on stage 9. So let's get him back in. So he's going as well. We've got Adam Yates and Simon Yates, two youngsters, only 22 years of age, identical twins, although not identical in terms of what they're capable of. Simon, probably the best of them. Fifth on the Dauphiné, which is what they call the mini Tour de France. And yeah, could go very, very well. And Mark Cavendish, runner-up on the Nationals in Britain. Absolutely superb. And of course, he's the king of the fast men, especially because Marcel Kittel, who won into Harrogate last year, isn't going. And the word is, it's not the legs, it's the head. Wow. So yeah, this is a race where you've got to have everything absolutely where it needs to be. Froome is absolutely in that zone for overall, and Mark Cavendish is, as far as the sprint stages are, and Alex Dowsett for the individual time trial. What a flotilla of talent we have sailing over the channel.
Well, Kittel obviously pulled out of the Tour de Yorkshire as well. He was one of the big withdrawals from that event.
Yeah, it's a shame, actually, because he you would think he's got it all. He's got the legs, he's got the looks, he's got the hair, which is you know, the thing that I'm most jealous about, to be honest, being follically challenged these days. But yes, it's a shame, but let's just hope he finds a home, because it looks like he's actually in dispute with his own team, Giant Alpecin, which is part of the reason why he's not going. There's a guy called John Degenkolb, who is a very good outside bet for the green jersey. That's the points competition. There are a number of different competitions. Of course, our own Sean Kelly will be sitting alongside me for the Tour de France, winner of the green jersey on 3 separate occasions. Peter Sagan has done exactly that as well, and will be going for another green jersey if he can possibly just fend off the likes of Alexander Kristoff, Andre Greipel as well, why not, and a few others, including Michael Matthews from Down Under.
So, Carlson, let's ask the important question. We've got a couple of quid. Let's put it on someone. Who are we sticking our money on?
For the tour itself, got to be Chris Froome. Got to be Chris Froome.
Got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, both you, me and everybody else in Yorkshire, I'm sure, will be thinking exactly that. If you want a cheeky one, Roman Bardet. Always like a little bit of a side bet. I think he's currently about 50 to 1, something like that. I had him at 200 to 1 quite some time ago. He's going to be top 5, easy, and you get quarter the odds for a top 3 place. So Bardet's your man if you like a cheeky one to the side. Chris Froome if you want to bet the farm.
Excellent. Carlton, thank you for joining us. Tour de France about to kick off very, very soon. Obviously, last year left such a legacy here in Yorkshire. It's amazing. It's going to be a fantastic event. Carlton, thanks for joining us.
Cheers.